Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, we gotta stand.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
What's this?
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Now it has been a roller coaster ride, but you know what? One thing about a roller coaster, it's scary and it's good. We're going to get back on it. And that's how this country has been, a big roller coaster. So we got a lot to talk about. As always, read the African American newspapers, no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. My Eye Messenger is a weekly magazine. I call it a magazine, but it's a newspaper. But the quality of work, man, it should be chronologized like a magazine. Which is done weekly. We have the Texas Metro News that's weekly and hard copy and online, as well as the Garland Journal, which is a weekly biweekly publication. So no excuse for the news. We got it all right here under the umbrella of Cheryl Smith. And just so much is going on, so little time to talk about it. Some of the things that we are be talking about today. We talked about Juneteenth a little bit as it became a national holiday. We'll revisit that and kind of give a feel of how the country is feeling about that. Mass shootings, again, still going on. When Harold come on, and hopefully some other military folks, we'll talk about General Mallory. Is it Mallory? Mallory? I'm sure Harold will lift him up a little bit. And we'll talk about him. And he's trying to find out all about the critical race theory. You talk about hot. That's the hottest thing right now. So we're going to get into that as well. We're going to look at the collapse down in Miami, which is a little close to me. And we're doing what we got to do when we got to do it. So a lot is going on. Also, we're going to look at the legacy of Dr. Frederick S. Humphreys, who passed this week. He was the former president of Florida A&M University. So we are just excited, right, biting at the bit this morning. And hopefully when we start talking about Dr. Humphreys, I have a caller to come in, and the lady that was very instrumental, other than my family, very instrumental in me getting to Florida A&M, none other than Carolyn Collins, who's a neighbor, a friend, fellow alumni, and I will be excited to bring her back on as well. So as we get ready to dig in, buckle up. We're going for a ride this morning. Let me go ahead and bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, Joppy, number one citizen, Cocker Hills, former mayor, DeSoto, Lancaster, one of them, and Duncanville, none other than the world famous Harold Horatio Hubbard Jr. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Andrew. Wiggy Wiggy.
Man, what a week. So much is going on. Yeah, a rough one in some instances.
Yeah, pretty tough.
My prayers are going out to the families. We'll talk about that down in Miami. And it hit close to home, Hal. We're not quite that far up, but the structure that fell down in there, I'm very familiar with the area. And as Ricardo would say, somebody got some explaining to do.
Man, it looked like it was imploding.
It definitely had that appearance, didn't it?
Yeah, man.
How it fell so neatly. I mean, just fell in with staying on the property. Very
interesting.
But we'll look at that and see. I have my big monitor on, and we'll look at some of the things as the morning progresses. But I hope you had a great Father's Day. We talked a little bit on last Sunday. How was your Father's Day?
Well, it was actually pretty good, Andrew. Got a plate delivered by my son. Did a little barbecue plate. Then my daughter had me something delivered. It was pretty good.
Okay.
But about Tuesday, I got the word one of my good friends had lost his son on Father's Day, so kind of changed up on me there midweek. Yeah, we buried him yesterday, man. It was pretty rough. But him and my daughter grew up together. You know, we were friends, so they were together. So we got through that, but it's a blessing to still be on this side, man.
Yeah, always, always. You know, my grandfather always said, best to be seen than viewed.
Right. Yeah. And when you lose youngsters, man, it just has a different twist to it, you know. You don't really plan on burying your children.
Right. We always think it needs to be the other way around.
Right. We know we're not in control, but it's just a little different, man, you know, to see this young man, you know, taken so early.
But you know what, Harold? I experienced something like that when I was 18 years old. A good friend of mine passed, and we were in college. He was in a canoe going down the river, had a jacket on, life jacket. Fell out of the boat, and life jacket came off.
Oh, man.
Now, whether he had it secured, which we all made statements about securing your vest, is one thing to have it on, but make sure that you secure it.
Right.
And he did participate in the canoeing knowing that he couldn't swim. All right? And I'm sure a lot of people have done that before. However, the eulogy was done by the pastor at his church. I can't remember the church name, but he said one thing. As he slipped out of the jacket, he slipped into the hands of the Lord. And here I am, 18, 19 years old. You kind of couldn't grasp it at the time. But
right.
How true. He said something about 100% of the life expectancy, because we all have to answer the bell. We don't know when. But his 100% of his lifespan was committed, you know, or completed. And you kept asking yourself, why him? You know, there are a lot of people that were in line before him. But it was his season. And we had him for a season. And, you know, it's hard as a family member, as a friend, especially as a parent. It's my prayers are out to him. There's no way I can fathom the idea of that.
Yeah.
You talking about hurt. That's lifetime pain from this point on for family members.
Yes.
So
yes,
we'll
sir.
Pray for the family this morning just for a little comfort. We know it won't erase, but give them some comfort during these tough times. Wow.
Yes, sir.
And then we've been,
you know,
a lot of course died this year. You know, our best friend, nephew, passed and his friend. And then I understand they buried them side by side.
They buried who now?
Little Jack.
And who else?
His best friend that they were at a party at Lancaster High School.
Right.
Right, football player. Best friend. And very proud of him.
Wow.
Now, you talking about pulling on your
man.
Young. Look, I tell you, like my grandma said, on your purse string. You know what your purse string is? Not your wallet. That's that too. Pulling on that heart. And those parents, especially the one that only had one child. And that child is no longer with you. I can't even imagine.
Right. Yeah, like you were saying about little Jack. His high school honored him at their graduation this year, honorary graduate.
Wow.
He's a good kid, man.
Mm-hmm.
Real good kid.
Going too soon.
I don't remember him playing little league football, you know?
Yeah, baseball. I remember him out there when we were practicing.
Yeah.
He was playing a little baseball.
Yeah.
But again, much is going on, man, out there. And we as adults need to prepare these kids for things that are going on in life. We may not know everything, but from our life experiences, be able to share that with them to give them an idea if they're ever confronted with it. That's the key element. Because there are a lot of things you and I and others can't even have a conversation about because we may not have encountered it.
Right.
But, you know, we just stay prayerful and hopefully the kids, just like we had to make decisions, you know, and the grace of God that we're still here.
That's right. We still on the dirt.
Yep. Still here. And, you know, speaking about that, Harold, critical race theory is really heating up right now.
Right.
General Millery, I guess Miller, Malie, or whatever, how I pronounce it, M-I-L-L-E-Y, Millet.
Millet.
Stated that he wasn't understanding what was going on, but he wanted to find out. And when you look at, I wanted to get a few more people online, but we can start the conversation, is that when you have this critical race theory, it's a movement of civil rights scholars and activists in the United States who seek to critically examine U.S. law as it intersects the issues of race in the United States and to challenge mainstream American liberal approaches to radical justice. Critical race theory, also known as CRT, examines social, cultural, legal issues that can relate to race and racism in the United States, and more recently in England, Canada, and Australia. Because, you know, they all got a little cocoa in the milk around this country. And not just in the United States, as I mentioned, England, Canada, Australia. Now, when we think of critical race theory, even right here in Dallas and surrounding counties or cities, they don't want to address it in the school system.
Right.
Now, Harold, you've been with me a minute. You know, I've always said, when it came to telling the story, we've always gotten his story. Why don't we give the true history of what has happened? We can't acknowledge what happened in 1863. We can't dismiss what happened in 1865. We can't dismiss what happened in 2021. And they're complaining, don't want to know that black history that I've been patrolling black history all my life. That's all I say. Again, I got that tan.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it from the bottle. Got it from mama and daddy.
No. Man, I thought you was finna break into some Nipsey Hussle there. Hussle played the price.
Hey, we might get there. We might get there.
Yeah.
But again,
breaking into it.
Yeah. But again, you look at the plight of blacks. Some have arrived. Some never got to the gate if we had to do like a flight. Some arrived safely. Some have crashed and burned. Some not even invited in the airport. Literally. You know, when you look at CRT, it originated in the mid-70s. It was writing of several American legal scholars, including Derrick Bell, Alan Freeman, Kimberly Crenshaw, Richard Delgado, Cheryl Harris, Charles R. Lawrence III, Marie Matsudo, and Patricia J. Williams, emerged in the movement in the 80s, revoking theories of critical legal studies with more focus on race. CRT is grounded in critical theory. It draws from thinkers from Antonio Gramsci, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, as well as the Black Power, Chicano, and racial feminist movement from 1960 to 1970. Now, saying that, Harold, it has been going on a while. In this country, will not address it, don't want their kids to learn history. How can we evolve in a country? And I say, how can we move forward when we don't know, we do know, but we do not embrace the past? Oh, that was just time. If they could go back to 1863, they would. Wake up, America. Wake up. We've contributed so much to this country. All we ever wanted. As a whole, we say reparation. When one climbs, hell, everybody should climb. But we know it's not like that. We understand. But if you qualify, how many people have been qualified and never got a job? And it's just not the oppression of people of less color. Some of us get oppressed by the ones we come. He goes back to this. Master's water is sure cold. It's cola. It's cola over there.
Yeah.
And we never talk. I never would think about the fact that ice freezes, water freezes at 32 degrees. And that same ice they go in that water, go in your water, but master's water is cola. Who would have thought it? But again, this critical race theory, you know, scholars, politicians don't want to look into it because they know. They've been in the big house. They've had Samuel Jackson want to know who's that on that nag. Well, they couldn't say it no better. Well, I'm not saying we all need to be like Django. We don't need to shoot no folks. But we need to exercise our freedoms and make a difference in this world, which we have. And it's shameful that these school districts will not address the true history of this country.
It's the great cover-up, as usual.
Candy coating.
It's just a little candy coating.
But again, these kids, they're learning his story. His story. Let's give them the real history. That America wasn't as pretty as it is today. Still not pretty. How we can kill a black man and get 20 years, 22 years, a parole of 15. Now, you know he won't be in the general population. Probably send him to a country club. eating filet mignon, glazed salmon, anything else, kolaches. He won't have a pig in the blanket. He'll have a kolache where he's going. But it's just amazing, and it hurts. And that's why I think that's my fuel, Harold. It's not, we just want equality. Just, we want to be able to get on the boat, not only get on the boat, we want to drive the boat. I said years ago, last time collectively we got on the boat together. Look where we are. But now we got captains that look like us. Now we know where we're going. At least we feel good about which direction we're running in. But we still have not docked in this country. How about it said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. It's a hurting thing of the lack of progress that we've made collectively. Go ahead, you was about to say something.
No, I just said that's true. It landed on us.
And then we had to fight our way to get it off us. Once we got it off us, then they used other mechanisms.
Right. Police.
Voter restrictions.
Voter suppression.
You call it suppression, I say restriction. Dog say. Now, are we talking about, Harold, are we talking about the 1800s, early 1900s? I think we are also talking about 2021.
Exactly.
So all our lives over here, over 400 years across the water, four or five.
We're talking about right here.
They always say one thing about a circle, where it starts is where it ends. And we're on this vicious roll. Voter suppression. You know, when you can have 32 boxes to drop your ballot down to 18. You can't stand in line and use the bathroom or get something to eat. People who bring you food will be arrested.
Crazy, man.
How can you sit and live with yourself and say you don't understand the critical race theory? You understand it. Whether you try to fix it is a whole nother ball game. And now, Harold, more than ever, we've always been on the porch, as we call it. And I think about the movie Life. When the baby came out brown, that kicked butt. Well, Massa, back in the day, he came down to the house. Came down to the house, and there was a lot of brown babies. A lot of mulattoes, as they used to call them back in the day. So it's just like a clock. It keeps going. That second hand, even though it's moving forward, keep going round and round and round. Sound like Kevin Campbell. We got a lot to deal with right now.
And they go around in circles.
Yep. Was that Billy Preston, right?
Yeah.
We may have it. But it opens up discussion of what needs to be done. Again, we are fighting ourselves. We're self-destructing ourselves. The fight we have in America is creating a vulnerable spot for the enemy to attack. And sometimes I don't think we're fighting foreign. It's more domestic. We have our own civil war going on again. Police brutality. Even in the arrest record, hell, over time, we've talked about a brother run, he could be running and get shot. Running in the opposite direction. Tase it. Get to the point where you could corner him. Him or her. But too many people have died. And that's what we know about. That's exactly what we know about. But how many people are dying that we don't know about?
Right.
You know, and since I've been here when that young man died in Jasper, Texas, drugging from a truck, again, youngsters, what would make them do that? Did they hear their parents talk about it?
Oh, man.
What do we do? What do we do?
Interesting.
That is hurting. Because you're trying to get your kids to be positive. Now, my son know how I feel. I want the best for them, and I do what I can for them. But I tell him, you can't walk in the dark with your eyes closed. That's bad. And you can't see that no way. But don't sit up there and walk with your eyes closed. You don't know what you're going to bump into. At least if something got in your face, you might have a glimpse to react. But we'll walk in the dark with our eyes closed. Well, they said, yeah, no. Heck no. You know, if it had been another day, I'd have said something else. But we have to grow. We have to inform. We have to make these kids aware of what's going on. Look, drugs got our neighborhood, which we keep the economy. We have to shop in such a way that the guy on the corner store, he gets your money every day. And guess what he does? Take it back home. Build an empire. Send his kids to Yale, Harvard. Now they're minorities. And we have to influence our kids and neighbors and everybody. Go somewhere. If you go to El Centro, Cedar Valley, Mountain View, Eastfield, North Lake, I think I got them all covered. We start there, and then you can go on if it's North Texas, University of Texas at Dallas, SMU, whatever the case may be. But you have a point of starting. So we push from there and continue to push and at least get a paper. It doesn't guarantee a job, but it puts you ahead of those who did not have papers. You know, that was the lesson that we learned, Harold. And we need to push our kids. Some of them, I got to give me a website. Instagram, I got 12,000 hits. Okay, fine. But what are you doing? You got a platform. What are you doing to change your life? What are you doing to change your life? Those are the things that we need to be aware of. For those who are listening, welcome to the world. According to Drew, I'm Andrew William live in Studio A. Harold Hubbard riding shotgun with me this morning.
And Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. And we're just talking about things that need to be talked about. And hopefully we'll get Cheryl on a little bit. You know, I love when she comes on. She said it like it T-I-E-S. That's an old one, Harold. Like a tears.
Like a tears. That's what they say.
And, look, her superb woman today is Honorable Toni Rose. Toni with an I. Rose, and, you know, she's a state rep. And it's just, you know, she's so beautiful. And our sister's out there doing some things. She's in the state house, a representative representing District 110, which includes diverse communities, Oak Cliff, Highland Hills, Pleasant Grove, Box Springs, and Mesquite. I know it's Mesquite, but I love Mesquite. Yeah, she's sister's been around a minute, and we're so happy for a part of the Texas Legislative Black Caucus. She's a Delta. No, you know how Harold, you know how I say we, it might be a Kappa, but Cheryl be highlighting us, all right. I don't blame her.
Hey, if you don't, who will?
And, man, I tell you, Texas Metro News is climbing, man. Third place winner, Races Act. Third place winner, and actually second place winner, and Culture Division winners, Equality, Digital Division winners, second place. We climbing. You know, I wish I could find the song right now, Harold. You know, good things are happening for Texas Metro News. I was gonna get moving on up. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Things are burning on the grill. So great things are going. Fatherhood last week. Harold said you got some son brought him some food. Man, I tell you, I know you'd probably cry. I know. I ain't got to think about it.
Yeah, man. I'm praying for my son today, though, because he's up there in Boston with his sister and his auntie. So I hope they don't harm him too much.
Well, you know they're going to get him a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially your daughter been under the wing of your sister for a minute, and now he gets to enjoy some of that clam chowder. Get some of that look. Yeah, but
all of that.
You know, good things is, you know, you just try to give the kids an opportunity to do good for themselves. At a certain point, everybody's responsible for their own actions. But at least, you know, you start the race. And like I said, we all have taken different pathways to get where we are today. It doesn't make me any better or any less than anybody else. You know, we're here. We all have vital roles in our lives and the lives of the people that we come in contact with. Also, what we're covering in the paper today, Chauvin gets 22 and a half. How'd you come up with a half? There's no technicality.
Because they have KLD at the sentencing.
And I know he gets parole. And then this is something that surprised me. Usually when you sentence for a murder or something like that, they let him speak. That he apologized. Well, something, you know, said something to the family. I was like, what? And the family was like, why'd you do it?
Why do you still firecrack? I'm sorry, man.
Why'd you do it? That's what I'm worried about. But Harold, some good announcements, and I need you to show up with me. Show up with me because you know who's coming to town.
Uh-oh.
You know who's coming to town.
Santa Claus?
Yeah, I'm here already. Okay. July 23rd.
I didn't say Sandy Claus.
We're on the 23rd of July. We need you. We have Vice President Goree. We have our basketball coach, both men and women.
Okay.
And the football coach. So those who are listening, if you kid now, when I used to coach, I used to say, well, you got some good kids. Every kid is good. Some are better than others. We need you to come on down, support the school, and maybe get your child, your neighbor's child, niece, nephew, whatever the case may be, on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
We need it. And now we're in the SWAC, too, Harold. This is pivotal. Pivotal. For us, last year we raised about $15,000. Houston outdid it, so we're ready this year. Houston gave $10,000. $20,000. Well, one person giving $10,000 to FAMU. So the basketball, men and women, and the football coach, and the athletic, Gaucher, it's coming to town. They've been already to Jacksonville, Orlando, my home in Tampa, well, my previous home in Tampa, Atlanta, this week, 2 days. Well, big contingency there in Atlanta. They'll be in Tallahassee, of course, in July on the 1st, 3rd in Fort Lauderdale. Chicago, 2 days, 16th and 17th of July. They go to Houston on the 22nd, Dallas on the 23rd, and they're going to hit D.C. Boy, that's some traveling there from Dallas to D.C. in one day, trying to raise money for Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. And I have a special coming a little bit later. So hopefully she'll get in, but if not, we lost our president, one of our presidents, Carol.
Mm.
And he was known as the 8th president of Florida A&M University. And I had the honor of working. I tell you, most of the savviness that I've gained is from that gentleman there. So heart is heavy, but you know what? When you're in that season, you just got to do what you got to do to make a difference in the lives of the people that you come in contact with.
True.
At the age of 85. We'll talk about that. And as I mentioned, this, a young lady who is, you know, I wanted to follow in my parents' footsteps, but a young lady that was instrumental. Look, taking me to FAMU games, too, where mom and daddy couldn't take me, Carol, she was taking me.
Mm.
Something about that orange and green, boy. Something about it. All right. Now, we'll get on that a little bit. I get a little lump in my throat. Now, let's go to that Miami situation. I tell you, it was very close to me because, you know, I have a kid down there. Luckily, kids in another area. And you think about all these high-rise condos in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, even Tampa, anywhere where it's salt water, there's an issue. California, Houston, Galveston, Padre, never been to Padre Island, never been. So I don't know if they have skyscrapers or what. Brownsville, any of that, especially with Galveston, where you have the waves coming in. You know, the table is changing. Is it shifting? What are our engineers doing about erosion? Well, here's a building, as you mentioned, Harold. It had the strangest look to it. The strangest look to it. However, it had a familiar look to it as well.
Mm.
How it conveniently, yeah, I don't know if we can. First of all, I'm praying for all the families that have people involved. Hopefully they will find some more survivors. Each ticking second, the possibility of people dying increase. So I don't want you to think I'm insensitive to that. Just the fact that it's going to get harder and harder with each passing day. They have to move a little rubble, enough to get the dogs in there, and the dogs can do some work. But if it's piled up, you don't want to send people or animals down that may be captured by debris. But the Corps of Engineers down in Miami said that this particular building had some issues several years ago. Now, does that seem like it's going to be an ugly lawsuit? I think it will. It's going to be so ugly that it's going to influence the insurance business throughout this country. So hopefully and prayingly, coming up with a new word this morning, Harold, that these folks, they find more people so they can reunite with the family, because I know the families are in a tough situation.
Right.
You know, the apprehension of finding them, either dead or alive. So we hope that they can, you know, find more. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But these engineers, some brilliant minds, are trying to get together to get things in place. They're studying how, with salt water, if you've ever been around, Harold, two things it does. Your car, you have to undercoat it. I don't know, they don't do much undercoating here.
No.
A Z-bar is what the undercoating is in Florida. So you have the Z-bar, but when that salt water hits, it rusts metal.
Mm-hmm.
When it's rusting, it expands. It expands the concrete. You get cracks. Structures are not as strong as they once were. And the potential is greater for something disastrous to happen. And that's what they're looking at. Well, not only in Miami, but as I mentioned earlier, coastal. Let's not forget South Carolina. How about New York? Right on the water.
Right.
Savannah. Charleston. Norfolk. I'm just going up, look, using my own geographic means. Dover, Delaware. Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that whole right coast, all the way to Portland, Maine. What are we doing on the left coast? I just hope that they can get things together and get some results so it doesn't happen again. But I tell you, initially when I saw it, and I didn't have a sound on, I thought they were imploding the building.
Me too. Looks suspicious to me.
And I hope that you and I are absolutely incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that we're incorrect on that. But it definitely had the appearance. All right.
Right.
So, Harold, let me ask you this. What came across your mind other than you said maybe imploding? What did you think? I'm just going to throw it out there. Could it have been terrorists?
Yeah.
It makes you think. why this particular one in Miami, after spring break, getting ready to open up.
Right.
It's almost like a recipe. And I'm looking here, Surfside, Florida, where it is, just looking at people on a pile of debris. One of the structures on the side is gone, faceless, and the other side looked like it wasn't even touched.
Man, did you see the air conditioners just dangling?
Yeah, I see them now. They're climbing and searching. It's a memorial placed outside the building. And one lady said that she asked the rescue workers, imagine if it was your child in the rubble. And let me interpret that the best I can. Would you give up? You shouldn't give up. That's what they want to put. But Harold, we have a contributing body here, and let's get them on board. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world? Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning. We're glad. You can say your name or just. Okay, a good listener, first time listener, second time, several times. We're talking about the Miami, but we'll talk about everything. Just kind of let us know what's going on in your world.
All right. I'm a several time listener. This is Smurf out of Carrollton.
What's up?
And to me, if you really want to find out what happened with that building, you kind of need to look into the background of the property area, what's going on. Has anybody wanted that property here lately? Are they developing that area? You kind of got to get a little background on what's going on around there. And
code enforcement a little slacking.
Yeah, to me, I think about, when they put that place up, did they put it up with quality materials to begin with? Because, well, first of all, it is man-made and it is susceptible to fail. But when they put it up, did they go substandard with it? I mean, did somebody get paid off to pass the building on certain things when it shouldn't have passed and, oh, it'll be okay? And after years of erosion, how long has the building been there? Has it just – has substandard practices caught up to them? That could be an aspect of it. And then another aspect of it is, like, does somebody want that land? And, I mean, in today's greed world, I mean – If somebody really wants something bad enough to create a certain amount of money that they're trying to generate and make revenue, they will kill you. 1,000 people ain't nothing to them. They'll kill every last one of them there, move you out, bulldoze that whole place down, and put up what they want to put up and start their profit. And if they get caught on it, they'll be willing to pay how much it would cost, because, nowadays government and stuff has put a cap on what a life is actually worth. You're only going to get so much. And
right.
there are people that are willing to pay the price that it would cost. Oh, we kill 1,000 people at $250,000 each. Go ahead, roll it. Because what we're going to make, we'll call that a collateral damage, and that's just a fee that we had to add into to get the money that we wanted to make.
Right.
That's true.
The building was built in 1981. So we got 81.
As far as buildings goes, it's not really that old, because you got buildings standing
really
in New York
not.
That I heard y'all talking about earlier, been standing 150 years. So
right. And look, you talking about 100 years, think about the pyramids. They still trying
exactly.
to figure out how they didn't have the cement trucks and all the mortar like they have today, but they're still standing.
Yeah,
but it's still a puzzling thought that they're using today. But, 1981, and growing up in Florida, I can definitely tell you, with that salt water, it can rust up some stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have erosion there. And like I said, if you started with substandard equipment to build out to begin with, you're only going to get a, you know, 50, 60-year life build is not going to last you but 20 or 30 years.
Mm. And they're saying that in 1990, there were some concerns about
this. Right there on the coast with all the storms.
Yeah, the storm,
think
the erosion.
Like this. How many storms has that building weathered? And when you got 150, 160-mile-an-hour wind packing and pushing, yeah, the building didn't fall, but the tensile strength of the steel and everything else around it, man, has been stressed to a point. It's fragile just standing there. I mean, they got to look at what has this building been through? What kind of maintenance has been taken up on this building?
That's and how many people have to look into. Inspectors. You know, you have to look at that. Look at the inspection records to see, you know, what they identified as being problems or where they paid. What is it called? Payola. To say,
yeah,
hey,
exactly.
It's okay when it wasn't okay. So hopefully
exactly.
We can, the Corps of Engineers are going through. I can tell you this. Family member being an engineer, I always ask, and I had somebody live in my house, get it straight from the horse's mouth. An engineer today would never put an engineer tomorrow out of business.
No. No.
So you're saying they build it to fail?
Yeah, they don't want it to fail, but they know it's going to be needing some more work down the line. And I kind of like your theory and about who wants that, who owns that property? Are they trying to change it into something else?
Yeah, what's the developmental purposes going on with it right now?
But look, if that comes into fruition, you got to have some people held accountable for that. If that comes into fruition about letting this thing pass an inspection so that somebody else can get the property, in this case, 40 years down the road. That's crazy if that happens. But if you look at it was 12 stories. Now, most of the newer hotels and condos are 20-plus. Maybe they felt it was too old. We can't maximize that beachfront property or that area unless we have a 30. I'm hoping and praying that's not the issue, but you know you stirred up something there. Well,
you did. That's an interesting twist. It won't be the first time,
right?
Nah, I'm just basing that how I look at America. Man, capitalism has turned this thing into a demon. And if you are in the way, you will be eaten up, thrown away like you never existed. They don't care about killing you and your whole family. All y'all could have been living there. They don't care. If you are in the way of progress, they will kill you. There have been villages, man, on different continents and different places around this world where Americans move in. If we want a pipeline through here, and we don't care if it is your sacred ground, we're going to tell you one more time to move. And if you don't move, bruh, they will kill everyone there and put them all in the same hole, and the pipeline will go through. This is capitalism at its finest, man. Do not get in the way of these millions and billions that these people are trying to put in their pockets, because they will kill you.
That's true.
Yeah. It's on my sacrifice.
Government sanctions is necessary.
Wow.
You'd be surprised at how much of it is government sanctions.
Oh, absolutely. Since we have you on, what do you think about this critical race theory?
The critical what?
Race theory.
Critical race theory.
A commodity right now.
They're not wanting to teach reality in these schools.
In classrooms. Don't want to teach the real history. Instead, we've been fed the his story, and I was growing up. And now there's some issues. And and people don't want their kids to learn how their culture has treated people all these years. That's basically trying to protect. And
the
how,
thing about
why,
it is,
why we don't talk to Johnny? No, why we don't talk to Jamal? And see, that's
right.
It's not the kids. It's what the kids are getting while they're at home. So sometimes kids play, and then all of a sudden you worry about, well, Mama Jamal don't come over here no more. I don't know what's going on when they done tell we don't want him back over here.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that you can't stop these kids from communicating with each other, and they have so much access to information that you can't lie to them no more because they go look it up and find out for themselves. And then they go bring it back to you. So if you don't want to create a bad relationship between you and your child, you best to just come clean with what it is, because they gonna find out. They are so intelligent. I got two teenage daughters, man, about to be 17 and about to be 15. Got one that'll be 15 here in the next week, already turned 15. And then got the next one in August, she'll be 17. So these young ladies will tell you about everything that's going on, like all these topics that's been in the news, this Juneteenth passing, the Chauvin thing. I mean, these young ladies are opinionated. They have a good thought process. Things cannot be hid from them with the access, man, of the internet and all kinds of cable TV and news programs and podcasts. The truth is out there. Now the thing that's the thing is are you going to be honest as a parent? Are you as a white dad gonna sit and try to lie to your daughter when she knows the truth? Because right now, the average person that asks you a question already knows the answer to that question. This is an integrity test. I am trying to see where you're at and if you're going to lie to me.
That's interesting. That's very
interesting. Think about it.
Think about it
for yourself. When you ask somebody something, do you already know what you're asking them?
Pretty much so. You're right.
Sometimes.
Are you trying to be educated or are you trying to be informed? Which are you doing?
Yeah.
Very good point. Yeah.
Hey, I try to tell people that's how them alphabet boys function. They just want to see if you're gonna lie. When they ask you a question, they already know the answer. They sitting there looking at they got the teacher's book. They got the book with all the answers in it.
So, right next to the question. They ain't got to go to the back of the book.
Right.
Hey, guys. Well, see, the problem I've had over the years, again, is just that if you're going to tell a story, tell all the story. We get abridged versions, and sometimes telling the truth from the other side, it's kind of like an orange. You don't know what's in that orange till you peel it back. And that's what we're trying to do, peel it back. That's what they're afraid of. That when we peel it back, it may not be the orange that you think it is. It may be something else. And that's with this critical race theory. When Molly, however you pronounce General, he said he want to know because he can't figure it out. They know. They understand. You know, it cost one president his life for trying to make things better. Abraham Lincoln cost him his life.
He already was willing to give up his slaves.
You know, talk about Juneteenth. You know, will that erase? It's a step. It won't erase the past. You know, those chapters have been closed. But what are we doing to move forward to make a difference? We've made great contributions to this country. They're unrecognized. My famous line is that we've learned his story. It is his story. Let's get the trueness in learning the history of this country. And in Texas, they don't want their kids learning. Come on. Come on, y'all. It's part of it. It's part of it. And that's what we've been getting all our lives, just part of the story. Can you imagine your mother or grandmother baking a cake and half-baking it? Half-baking a cake.
You add the ingredients?
Yes. Half-baking. You don't want that cake. And we're feeling like that in this country. We just tell a story. Tell it like it is. That's what all we've always wanted. But it's going to be interesting. I told you on the research of the critical race theory, you know, they're looking at some of the works of, let me see, well, my homework here, W.E.B. Du Bois, all those things are going on. Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth. They talked about it years ago. And now, oh, my God, we didn't realize this was happening. Come on. First time, shame on me. Second time, shame on me. Third time, shame on me. We got to know it and move forward. Because if we don't protect our own, nobody else will. Well, guys, you know what? That's something that we need to keep on the table. With the critical race theory and the depression and everything that's going on with COVID, they wonder why some of the crime numbers are up. You know, we don't need to go out there and hurt nobody because we're hurting ourselves. But it's all contributing. It's all contributing to what we're seeing. And since we were on the air last week, you go to Virginia, they've had four total shootings with one fatality. St. Louis, Missouri, 7 total shootings with 3 fatalities. No fatalities in D.C. with 4 incidents. Chicago, 4 incidents with no fatalities. Montgomery, Alabama, 2 fatalities out of 4 shootings. All right? So all of this is going on in our country. Get your kids, get them close, talk to them. I like the way you said you have 15 and 17-year-olds. They have access to everything. And so we just need to make sure and have discussion. That's all we can do is have discussion with our children and let them understand what's going on. Because if we don't, that generation will not flourish. Again, think about when we were in school. We had to go to the encyclopedia, World Book, Britannica, and everything you had at your house, it was old when it got to your delivery. I still have a yearbook when LBJ was still living.
Man. See?
Okay. But remember, encyclopedias gave you, that's how things were. We got it a year late. It's unbelievable. But, guys, you know what? We're going to have to keep this dialogue open quite a bit. And I want you all to hang in here because I have someone that's going to come on now. And, man, appreciate you. Hang in there with us. I'm going to mute you out for a minute.
Okay.
All right. I want to bring in somebody that's near and dear to my heart. And right before I bring them on, let me read a little bit. Sammy lost a legend this week. We lost our 8th president of Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. It's Dr. Frederick Stephen Humphreys, born December 26, 1935, and passed on the 24th of June 2021. Is listed as an American Academic Administrator and Chemistry Professor. Served as President of Tennessee State from 1974 to 1985, and then became the President, 8th President of Florida A&M University, 2001. He's also the President and CEO of the National Association of Equal Opportunity in Higher Education from 2001 to 2003. And Florida A&M confirmed the President Emeritus title upon him on December 11, 2009. He's a regent professor at the Florida A&M College of Law from 2003 to 2014. Under his leadership, FAMU grew from 5,100 students to 9,000 students in less than 10 years. And by the year of 1998, enrollment reached 11,000 students. What I like about Dr. Humphreys most, he was born right, did all his matriculating. Most of it there at FAMU, that's where it started. Graduated magna cum laude, received a PhD in physical chemistry from the University of Pittsburgh, and was the first African-American to receive a PhD in the discipline from that university. I want to bring in a lady that's very instrumental in me getting to FAMU. Even though my parents went there, this lady tirelessly would take us to Tallahassee, none other than my neighbor, my friend, my everything, Carolyn Collins. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You were really on to it. I got to start getting up and calling in and listening to your show. Y'all were in on that history piece and what's going on in Texas, and I commend you guys and encourage you to keep it on. Even before we get to Dr. Humphreys, I needed to say that it's so critically important. We had two African-American legislators here, Senator Hargrett, I don't know if you remember, Senator James Hargrett, his parents graduated from FAM, and Representative Rudy Bradley, who passed African and African-American history to be infused from K through 12 and in every subject matter from physical education and health all the way to chemistry, science, music. We only have probably about 20 to 25, and it's almost a 25-year-old law. And we only have about 25 counties out of 67 in Florida that has implemented it. So it's important that we make sure that our history is our history and told our way. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I learned from the best.
All right. Yes. Okay.
All right.
And
so we think about our fallen rattlers this week, and I honestly said that it was, kind of like a prize fight. I got knocked out when I heard the news. I know he had been sick.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just thankful that for a season that we had him at FAMU. And, I could not mention Dr. Humphreys without saying that he followed our homeboy who put a lot of infrastructure into place, Dr. Walker Smith, and we're praying for him because he's sick as well. And Dr. Humphreys took that blueprint and took it to another level with
yes, he did.
There on the hill. We got more programs. Like I said, it was into Dr. Smith brought in like the Dyson Pharmacy and a little bit before him, he came in and then the School of Business kind of rose to a different level. And under Dr. Administration, that year, Time Magazine picked us as the number one university. Y'all, we're not talking HBCUs. We're not talking about predominantly white institutions. We're talking the number college of the year. Well, we were bringing in National Merit Scholars. And I say this with pride. Living in the state of Texas, the University of Texas was leading at one particular time in bringing National Merit Scholars. University of Oklahoma, right above the border, was bringing in. But here's a little small historically black college in Tallahassee, Florida, that were getting more of those scholars. And right here in Dallas, Dr. Chappelle was one of our key people. We have a former city council member, Tiffany Young. In Dallas, and we're still trying to send them. Look, I'm trying to hoping my daughter becomes that person down at FAMU. So, again, Harold, listen, he worked with me, and he said, if nothing else, if I'm going to say something good about FAMU. We have our problems, but We're getting it right.
We most definitely are.
And I know you've been a past national president of our alumni association. And what do you see where we're headed from your perspective, the university at this point?
You know, I'm a believer, and I can't remember as the national alumni president in our meeting in Boston. And Dr. Humphreys had just left, and the university had selected Dr. Fred Gaines to be the president. And we had not had an opportunity to have two presidents at any of the national meetings together. And I had talked with Dr. Humphreys when I first came in and asked Dr. Humphreys, how do we work collaboratively together? Because I'm a true believer that anyone who follows an individual in any position, if there's any strength on those shoulders, you stand on the shoulders of that individual. And you just clearly described Dr. Walter Smith putting in a $10 million capital campaign, which was the first at the university, and it was an endowment. Therefore, the interest off of $10 million that Dr. Smith had prepared over literally his 7 years and the interest that was growing on it, and it was completed when the day he left the university, Dr. Humphreys came in, and standing on that solid brick wall with the interest of $10 million, he created, as we all know, the Life Get Better Scholar. We had Dr. Gaines, who came in and had a very strong system coming from a chancellor of another state system, but couldn't be appreciated that much because the state of Florida had just gone to what they felt was the Board of Trustees and gotten rid of the Board of Regents. They indicated that they no longer needed a body over all of the universities, and it's the reason I'm saying it this way, Andrew. So they got rid of the Board of Regents, who was over all of the state university systems. They went to individual boards at each of the state university, Florida A&M University, Florida State University, Florida University of South Florida, and so on. And it wasn't a year or two after they did that, they came right back with the Board of Governors and put a Board of Governors over the Board of Trustees at all the state universities. So we sit here in Florida with 12 state universities, each having their own Board of Trustees to make sure that those institutions can do the things that are better for their students and their constituents. And now we have came right back over it, and we've hobbled over that with the Board of Governors, who now actually operate just as, in a sense, the Board of Regents was operating. Just as Florida A&M University for the last 2 years by U.S. News and World Report has been identified as the number one public HBCU in the United States. And I will say this to you, where we falter, if you ask where we're going, the only big falter that we have is people have a tendency of looking at our percentage rate of giving of our alum. And I think the message that we're sending to our alumni is give. If you love the university in a small way, but you don't want to give any money, just send $5 once a year. If you love it in a large way, send $5,000 once a year. And if you love it in any way, send whatever you can send on a regular basis in between. Because these larger entities that rate us and measure us by the level of giving of alumni. And it appears that other HBCUs and other schools are giving at a higher rate, but I challenge that because I think Florida A&M University is known to give at a higher rate of dollars. So we give the $5 million over 5 years. Our alumni give that kind of money. But where we're having a problem with is we actually need to make sure that we're counting the individual number. You may have a university out there that have 10% of their alums or 20%, but they are giving. And so that's where we are going from here. We're correcting things like that. But with Dr. Robinson at the helm, with the solidity of all of our university presidents that all paved the road for the Dr. Walter Smiths and for the Dr. Frederick Humphreys, the great Frederick Humphreys, that bought the Life Get Better Scholarship and brought students from all over the United States and abroad to Florida A&M University because he had a solid administrative structure left by Dr. Walter Smith revenue of $10 million, and he stood on Dr. Smith's shoulders, and he used the money appropriately. And that's what we've got to do today. We've got to stand on those shoulders and make sure that whatever we have, we make it work. We can make it work for all people, but I'm a believer that if we make it work for ourselves, all people will benefit from it. And Dr. Humphreys did it, and he did it well. He was a big man, a big stature, but he was also a brilliant man. And he was one of the longest-serving presidents. He was an icon for the university. And I remember when I decided to run for president, I called him, and Mrs. Humphreys said, he's going to be in his easy chair in his jacket, smoking jacket, in a minute. And he said, so he told you, call back within the hour. And we had a long chat. And our chat was, how do we come together as National Alumni President and University President and answer your question? How do we go from here and make here at the top? We were dealing with the Carnegie classification that had decided they didn't want to give us credit for our research dollars and research programs, and he wasn't hearing that. And then even as I stayed in as president, Dr. Humphreys left, and Dr. Gaines came in, and Dr. Humphreys took his leave of absence, whatever he was going to do, and ended up going over at the law school in Orlando. We still stayed in touch. And as recent as about a year ago, he was with William Yeoman, our regional vice president, and sat down and gave those jewels to alums over in Orlando on what we needed to do to keep Carrot. And I'm going to tell you, our president now, Dr. Larry Robinson, is doing an awesome job. He's another chemist. I call it chemical person in nature and mind, and I think they are so strategic in their thinking and their functioning, and they laying things out. He is so supportive of the National Alumni Association and all alums. He supported and loved his alums. He loves his students. I mean, everybody know Dr. Larry Robinson on Wednesday is going to be in the, as we called it, the CAF or whatever with the students, but he's going to be over there on fried chicken Wednesday and fried fish Friday. He going to be there with those students. He's very cooperative with the university, with the alumni. He's serving in so many different capacities. He worked with the United States government in capacities. He worked with our state government. He worked with the Leon County government. And he actually is standing on the shoulders of a President Frederick Humphreys, who we will never, ever forget. I think of him, absolutely, and I think of Moses Miles. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great man. Mm-hmm. Great man. And, yeah, you're right. The brick hit me. I knew he was sick.
Carolyn,
that brick. Yes, sir.
Look, I'm so proud to call you Carolyn because you've been Miss Collins all my life. But
that's okay. Carolyn's good.
Yeah, that's like you. Only the few can call me Andy. So I.
That's right, and you can call me Carolyn and knock on that door anytime you're in Tampa.
Right. But one thing you can say about Dr. Humphreys moving this place forward, I had the opportunity of working with him as well. It's just such a delight. You said not only the physical presence of him, but he was always thinking, doing everything. He came out to Dallas quite a bit. Tiffany Young, bringing that name up, she was a graduate of, attending Lincoln High School here in Dallas. He made an offer to her, and she never responded. So he called the great Napoleon Lewis, for those who live in Dallas, know I'm talking about Papa Bear, and pulled Tiffany out of class and asked her, now, we still got an offer on the table. What you going to do?
That was him.
What you going to do? And he kept in pursuit of Tiffany. And she was a former city council member here in Dallas. And he got her to Tallahassee. And so those are the type of things, that personal touch, that got a lot of people, you know, and the PWIs are doing great jobs too, and I tell Harold that all the time, but one thing I can say, you can see your president not only at orientation or graduation. You see him several times in between at HBCUs. And like you said, Dr. Robinson, the football coaches, everybody It's chicken Friday, fried chicken wings.
Fried chicken wings and fried fish Friday.
Right.
And we know, look at, and anytime you have an event, you can go to it, and you know at the end of the table, whether it's fried chicken, fried fish, or whether it's baked, if somebody want to say, or whether it's grilled, you know you're going to see peach cobbler and vanilla ice cream. So that's
well,
Dr. Robinson. But Dr. Humphreys.
Blood sugar,
yeah.
And everything I put on that one.
Oh, yeah, but Dr. Humphreys was, he was a great president, and there were some things that Dr. Humphreys said that I actually stick with today. He would allow people to say what they wanted to say, but when it came down to my position now as a past president is government relations, so my focus is both national as well as local in Tallahassee, that is, as well as local, because all politics are local, and that's the message that I try to send the alum. But Dr. Humphreys kind of taught us how to go up there and how to talk to legislators and how to indicate to them what we wanted, what we need, and that it was time out for taking the wooden nickels. You know, great man, great things, big stature, achieved greatly, a legacy. And I'm sitting up here looking at when you call me, and I got up and came in what I call my office, which is the boys' old room upstairs. I immediately looked at the picture when he bought me. When he went to Thurgood Marshall, he honored National Alumni Presidents all over the country on an annual basis. And he called me and he said, get ready. You need to be in New York to the Thurgood Marshall's, to NAFIO's conference, that is. Not Thurgood Marshall, but to the NAFIO's conference. And I went and I received my medallion from him and handshake and everything. And a few weeks later, I get this big picture in the mail where Tola sent it to me. Tola was his PR director, Tola Thompson. And I have this picture pasted in this room. He sent me 2 8x10s. And I stand there all the time and I look at it because my head probably reaches the top of the pocket on Dr. Humphrey's jacket. But he wanted to recognize others for the greatness that they were doing to encourage them to do it. And that's what he did with students. That's why he came out to get Tiffany in Texas. Our current Florida Regional Vice President, William Yeoman, he was hit so hard. I called him when he was at work because I didn't want him to walk off from work and hear it somewhere else. And I say, how you doing? Have you heard? And stuff like that. And fortunately, he had. But Dr. Humphreys went to D.C. to get him. Engineering graduate, major from FAM. But that's the way Dr. Humphreys rolled. And that's what we're doing right now at Florida A&M University. I just watched a video yesterday with our president, Doris Hicks, over in Polk County, and she had the AD and the coaches and just a few people in her house so that they could social distance last weekend. And they were doing their STRAC tour, 2021 STRAC tour. And Greg was in there, President Clark, Colonel Clark, and they were in there talking with the alum and explaining to them, and this is when they're collecting. And, of course, Polk County was trying to outdo Hillsborough County and Tampa, but they did. They lived big money, but when we came, we had to do more over in Tampa. And I wasn't here. I happened to be in Tallahassee with about 32 young players from South Florida with their coaches that was touring at the end of the college football tour. And because our people had to leave and I just happened to be up there with my oldest son who had a little medical problem and I went up to nurture him and his wife, I actually had a chance to go over with the coaches and I had a chance to hear the coaches from South Florida and see those 32 football players. And I'm telling you, our coach may not have been there, but he left his whole administrative team, all of his coaches, trainers, equipment folks. So that's the way they roll. They go into the homes. They invite you into our home at FAMU. Dr. Hudson and Gus is riding everywhere for admission. Carmen Cummins is alumni affairs, but I also work with them. And we just try to make sure that wherever they are, we try to meet them because we're trying to nourish the next, continue to nourish the future leaders like Andrew.
Well, I appreciate that. The text in the mail. I appreciate that. But, you know, they're actually going to be here on the 23rd of next month. And those who are listening to Dallas, I welcome all of you just to come and see what we have going on in Tallahassee.
It's something to hear.
Half my family there. My son did apply to FAMU, got accepted. He just finished at University of Miami. At least he got orange and green, so I didn't have to change my wardrobe.
And have to change the color.
Right. Then, of course, Carrington is there now. And I'm her biggest fan. I guess we are her biggest fan. And she's doing great. But, you know, you talk about the athletic department. You talk about the academic things that we're doing. But, you know, it takes great leadership. And that's what we had in Dr. Humphreys. And all the preceding presidents and even up to Dr. Robinson of just trying to keep the tradition of training young minds, you know, for the world. And I thought of the other name, Isaac Chappelle, kid that went to Skyline. We recruited him. He had a perfect SAT scores. He got an offer from Dr. Humphreys. He went down to Tallahassee. He received an internship with Jet Propulsion Labs over in California, working with kids from MIT, UCLA, Pepperdine, you name it. And now he's in charge of that. And so we've been training great for a long time. And then for the list of who's in Dallas, there's some talent in Dallas. I mean, some kids, I look at them and say, wow. But and now we're in the SWAC now. So watch out.
We're in the SWAC.
They come in Dallas. I've always dreamed it. They coming. We coming now. So
look at tell them we're in the SWAC. We coming at them in prime time. We're going to meet prime time on Labor Day weekend in Miami with a Sunday's game. So that'll be the first game. All the hotels sold out. Soon the stadium going to be sold out. So for those individuals who haven't did tickets early and made room reservations early as Labor Day, go ahead and start planning your Labor Day party and have your party. I think it's going to be televised. Figure out how you can watch it on TV. And put your hat. Get your FAMU hat. Flip it upside down. And as everybody coming in and bringing their cover dish and wearing their mask, if it's still deemed appropriate, or if you're outside in the backyard or at the park, do your collection and say you didn't have to pay for the hotel, you didn't have to pay for a ticket for the stadium, you didn't have to do transportation. Drop some money in this hat, and then you can go ahead and put that together and roll it into a check and send it to the National Alumni and say, put this in the National Alumni coffers for the SOS, Saving Our Student Scholarship, and take half of it and send it over there to athletics, because when they see that new stadium and they're doing half of it now and the other half. And if the people are hearing the coaches are traveling, the AD is traveling, I would encourage them to go make a contribution, but do a contribution for themselves. Listen, the message that President Clark, the AD, and the coach is carrying is letting us know how FAMU is going to stay up, how we're going to keep striking from the top, not during this pandemic time, but during this very interesting time with administrations that have been different in leadership in this country, not only in Washington, D.C., but in all of our states. And so we've got work to do. We've got to make sure that we think of Dr. Humphreys and the mindset that he said, don't let anybody tell you what's right for FAMU. You do your own vetting, educate yourself, and you tell them what's right. And then you go back and said, okay, Dr. Humphreys and Moses Jeremiah's up there putting a plan together to send down to us now. Because Moses had told you, if you talk about FAMU, may the, how you say, your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. So we have got to be strong advocates for Florida A&M University. And we've got to vet situations. We got to know what we're dealing with, and we got to pursue it in a very aggressive fashion for all HBCUs. And I have no problem with PWIs, but they don't serve the same purpose that HBCUs. And that was a true belief of Dr. Humphreys, and that's why they oftentimes refer to him for a champion of black colleges and universities, because he went from the TSU, Tennessee State University, to the FAMU, to the Thurgood Marshall, or the NAFIO. And that was his legacy. His legacy was giving, seeking out others to give, and to make sure that he told us that we needed to give. And we need to continue that, to continue that 134-year legacy of Florida A&M University, and remember the chain that Dr. Humphreys was in that legacy, and what a strong link and change. And the change can't be broken. Dr. Humphreys has closed one door, but that left, he left us to open many others.
Right, absolutely. You know, I thank you so much for being a part of this morning, and I think it's only fitting that we close our conversation on this. And look, I'm getting all misty eyes because it means a lot to me. And I'm going to get it together. I just had to have that moment, y'all. I'm going to Hollywood. On Hollywood. Okay, when the dark clouds gather on the horizon.
Over the horizon, yes.
When the face of eyes fall of rather and hope and when the sinew of the chest rose quick of those hard charging linebackers and the heart tired from those hard charging linebackers, you always remember that the rattlers were strike, strike, and strike again.
Yes, sir. That's a great closeout. And we will strike. And we got the strength of Dr. Humphreys striking with us. And we got the prayers for Dr. Walter Smith, who is very ill as well. Thank you so much, Andrew. Keep striking from the top.
All right. We thank you as well. Much love to you and Horace.
Oh, yes. And keep up the good work. I like what you guys were talking about. Go back to that history. We need to make sure that we get our education secretary, the United States Education Secretary, come on and pull a law like this one we have in Tampa to do it from K through 12 and infuse it in every subject matter. And that way we won't have to worry about kids not being told Tulsa. And let me close with this one. I heard y'all talking about if grandma hadn't completely baked that cake. Think it another way when you think of history, our history and theirs. If they got grandma's recipe, and they gave it to us for history, then we have their history. And if they take the ingredients out of grandma's recipe, or they try to take the handful of this and a pinch of that, and they try to convert it and put it in a spoon of this and a cup of that, and that's not what grandma said. She didn't tell you to use no teaspoon. She said pinch it. She didn't tell you to use no cup. She said pull a handful. And so when they mess up and distort our history, then we too are confused. Bless you, Andrew. Keep up the good work. And I love what you're doing. You are a leader.
Thank
you. All right. Love her.
Bye-bye. And that was Carolyn Collins, my hero. She's my hero. I tell you, it's people like that that keep you going and have some more. We it's about 43 minutes after the hour, if I can see my clock right here. You're so misty-eyed talking about FAMU. You know how it is. 43 minutes after the hour. We have a couple of callers. We're going to get them back on from New Orleans, Louisiana, on the booth. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Hey, God bless you, good brothers. How you all doing? And Sister Sharon, enjoyed her comments also. Yeah. So I just tuned in, and I was this is the conversation about the critical race theory and interesting comments. And now the past president of FAMU, Florida AMU University transition, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's interesting. I didn't know about him, but I was glad to hear you all give us information about him. And I would like to go do some research about him. So it's always good to hear about new names and go research and see what we can learn from their legacy and apply it in our lives and apply it to the community for upliftment. So I'm glad you all presented that information to us.
Right. We know really so much is going on in the world, and it's almost like a pause when great people are going on. You know, we think about John Lewis. I felt very similar when he passed on, and Dr. Humphreys put that same lump in my throat. Just people trying to make a difference in the lives of the people that they come in contact with. And you never know who's watching. So we always have to put our best foot forward when it comes to dealing with people. But, great things happen in Florida. And we, you know what, the same thing I always have to mention, right here in the state of Texas, with Paul Quinn, Houston Tillerson, Jarvis Christian College, Wiley College, Texas College, Prairie View, and Texas Southern. You know, those are historically black colleges right here in the state of Texas. And they're doing great things, but we have to support them as well. At least if you have a kid that's looking for an institution, tell them at least book one or two HBCUs and at least go visit them. You know, don't make your own analysis of what you're seeing. You know, there's a problem with leaking out on your home, understand it. You got to go and understand, you got to go and see it. You know, you hear things about how black schools, how a lot of people are not very favorable. But you know what? When you look in the mirror, tell me who you see.
Mm-hmm.
Who you see. And as Carol would say, you know, PWIs have been doing great things in this country, but so has the HBCU. So, you know, again, we want you to visit. At least put one on the list. We have some great athletes. Tell them at least put FAMU, Howard, somebody on the list, and because if you don't go there, you have their recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I try to get kids in the Dallas area to understand. If you go on to Tech or University of Texas, put FAMU on the list. And now that we're coming out here, it makes a difference. We can't get them all, but the ones we do get, we try to make the most of it. So, great things. Anything going on in Louisiana that this world needs to know?
Oh, well, just update. We had talked about a couple of weeks ago the mayor wants to put a city hall in one of the most sacred black areas of New Orleans called Congo Square. That's where ancestors every Sunday were allowed to go out and practice their cultural beliefs and their spiritual beliefs by the French slave owners on every Sunday, and that was called Congo Square. And since that day forward, you know, our residents, African-Americans, continue to go out to Congo Square and also the entire area to cultural activities, cultural events in Congo Square. And then the building that's on Congo Square where she wants to put the city hall, she wants to take that building, which is Mahalia Jackson Municipal Center, and a lot of people had graduations there, a lot of other civic events that the black community participated in, and she wants to replace all that with, the city hall. So the residents have been protesting against that, and so far the mayor has backed off and said, and she wants to see what the citizens, where alternative spots or locations where they can put a new city hall. So, but I say backed off because that's just, it seems like it's just a temporary fix, so she's just trying to save face for right now. But they come back.
Yes.
Huh?
Trying to keep the natives from being restless. In that particular spot. But, you know, I at my hometown of Tampa, how things have changed, even here in Dallas, how you can see the transformation. I like to use that more so than anything, of where we've been and how we've taken over an area, and we keep pushing people out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we move to the suburbs, guess what? They're coming back in town.
Right.
Yeah, we have to be very aware of that when we can just build up what we have. But, it's going to take that village, the whole village, to get it done. But we wish y'all well there in the Big Easy. And, man, we appreciate you every Sunday coming in and giving us a little spice of, as Justin would say, news with a little cayenne pepper. We love it.
All right.
So, man, just hang in there. We're going to get some things done. Again, welcome to the world according to Drew. I'm Andrew Williams live from Studio A this morning. And this is an open platform. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 10 Central Time. We want you to be a part of it. Actually, you want to say good morning to Cheryl Smith, who is a rattler, and just giving me the opportunity to do what I do. And that's my thing. Just if you've known me for a while, you know I love to talk. So this is nothing new here. We just a different platform. But we've had some great discussions today. I want to bring in my man who talked earlier today, talked about his daughters. Hopefully he's still on. My advice, man, keep doing what you're doing. Take care of your young queens so that they could spread the word as well. You know, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yes,
and if you can, on the 23rd, we'd like for you to just bring your daughters up to Dallas Black Dance Theater. And we're going to have mainly the sport part of it, but at least you can see, meet, and greet some of the alumni of Florida A&M that live right in your city. So we're here, and I was supposed to be here for 3 years, 33 years ago. So Dallas is home now. It's amazing how time flies. But, you know, Dallas has a lot to offer, and we're going to make the most of it. So I invite you and your family to come on and be a part of this Rattler Nation as we try to show people west of the Mississippi River that something is going on just as good as Grambling, Southern, Prairie View, Texas A&M. Texas Southern. Boy, that's okay. I'm gonna send FAMU some money saying Texas A&M in the Senate. But we just got to get it going, man. It's a nice ride, and like I said, it's not for everybody, but at least be aware of what our HBCUs do and how when we didn't have a choice, we had to go to Bishop, those who live in the Dallas area, that's now Paul Quinn. See, and most of your teachers, if you're at least under 60, if you go back and talk to your teachers, I'm sure those who are still alive, they went to Prairie View, went to Texas College, went to Texas Southern, Houston Tillman, Jarvis. You can call the roll. And I always talk to Harold about Miss Bedford, whose husband was an attorney here, and she was very influential in my life the times that I did talk with her. So, again, just see what's going on. We can't get everybody, but we want to get as many as we can. So, yes, sir.
Andrew, I would be remiss if I didn't make a couple of comments. And them FAMU women are strong, man. When I was listening to her, I was like, man, is that Cheryl talking? Those FAM women, they some strong sisters, man.
Mm-hmm. And my story, Harold, she lived right around the corner. I'm all grown up now, around the corner of where I live. Now, if I was back home, she lived around the corner. You see what I'm saying? I've come a long way, too. But I remember she used to take us to the football game. You know, sometimes I would finish my own football game and get on the bus and head to Tallahassee. So it was tough to do. I had other aspirations. But I still say, I thank Mr. Thomas for taking that letter back when FAMU was slow returning my call. And he allowed me to do what I needed to do. And it was the greatest decision I've made in my life thus far. And I made some great decisions since then. But at that point in my life, I went to FAMU, had the time of my life.
Boy, don't get no trouble. Don't get in no trouble, this boy.
No.
Some of those the best decisions in your life.
I knew I was home without a degree. I had to do something.
Yeah.
So, I had a lot of people I wanted to make happy. So that's another thing, too, when you see the lineage that FAMU has created. And then when you get up there, you just want to go. And that's why I'm so happy for Carrington, being there as well. Kind of see. And then she always tells me, Dad, somebody know you. Well, baby, what you think?
Yes.
Yeah. That's when I go around Harold with the big chest with her.
Yeah. Andrew, she thought you was just serving them the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't know
your kids.
She didn't know Dad was the main.
Well, I was next to the man, Dr. Humphreys. I put it like that. Next to the man. Well, I said they're both presidents. So it was, it was quite an experience. And the Harold, you always talk about the women strong, the brothers strong, too, because that's the experience. And we didn't have all of their amenities. And I tell people that every day. I did not have all the amenities at FAMU during our time. There were times where I had to sleep in my coat. I'm not afraid to say that with the boiler. No, at our house, the heat go out. The air conditioner go out. But you know what? The old term, if it didn't kill you, it just made you stronger. And it did. Look, you know how you have forecasts? We didn't have that many stations in Tallahassee at the time. You used to put your hand up to the window. If the window was cold, you put your coat on.
Cold.
I was a bootleg meteorologist at the time. Put your hand up to the window. So, you know, but it shapes me into the person that I am, and I am forever grateful. And that's why, Harold, we spread the word the way we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way we do. And so I'm a welcome heat. Let's travel to Baton Rouge when it's 6 hours away. We're going to travel to Edabena with Mississippi Valley State. We're going to travel to Pine Bluff. So get ready. Be going. You better get on this train. And then, Lord, when they go to Prairie View or TSU, y'all better get ready. We going. We're going to show up and show out. So, hey, guys, and Carolyn, thank you for a wonderful Sunday. You know, we need to get out of here. And, folks, I want you to leave you with this. Take a look at the critical race theory and see what they're talking about and see how in Harris County, when they had drive-through ballots, they're trying to take them away. I think they've taken them away. When you've had X amount of boxes for drop-off, from 30 boxes to 10 boxes, come on, trying to discourage you to a right that's been over 50 years, folks of color, been able to vote. Let's stand up, show out, and do what we have to do with the ballot box. Because they realize that we could be a force to reckon with. But it kills my heart every time Ted Cruz gets on the news and he's talking about they don't want to learn about the history. Last I checked, he was Hispanic. They have a history, too. It's not as beautiful as he thinks it is. But, again, it's not his story. It's the American history that we need to improve. So, everybody, thank you so much for being a part of the morning. And, Cheryl, as always, I thank you so much for just being yourself. And as the great philosopher, Fran Sample, would say, you know what? I ain't no big dummy. Try not to be a dummy. But all I want to do is make a difference in your life. I'm out. Peace. Mm-hmm.